folks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4.
How are you doing
tonight? Hello, Stephanie. How's it going?
Great. And now that I'm on the love seat with you.
You are not. You're in the love
RV.
We're
not actually on the love seat yet.
You guys would never know, but we're mobile.
We actually are mobile. Thanks to Mike. Oh, look. A little thing just popped up on Mike's computer that says, reminder, record pork therapy with Stephanie tonight.
Phew. I'm glad it reminded me to. Yeah. I better contact you and tell you to come over and record pork therapy episodes.
You would have forgotten. Anyway, I'm glad that you're here with me tonight, Mike.
Yep.
Or I'm here with you.
I'm glad we're here together.
The mobile RV studio. And I'm glad to be doing the show with you. It's been almost a year, hasn't it?
Almost or over? Because it's like, what is this? It's October when we're recording this,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah, I think we started in early October of last year.
Happy anniversary.
Hey, yes, you too, Googly, and many more. Not that, I don't know.
Thank you guys for listening for a year, or throughout the year. I doubt anyone has listened for a solid year.
There might be a few, and they're probably
and
all
they
sitting
help.
Right on this bench.
Yeah.
You and me.
Well, basically you.
Yeah. Anyway, so thanks for listening, and you can check us out if you want to go to our website. You can visit us at porktherapy.com. That's porktherapy.com.
And from there, you can find links to listen to all our past episodes, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, call us, email us, join our female list, yada, yada, yada.
You make the female list sound like it's not that exciting, but it is so, so exciting.
Why? Have we ever sent one female yet?
We have. We have sent two females,
okay.
I think.
Okay. So,
more
what
than
are we?
Just one. Oh, don't forget, you can hear us on the Liberty Radio Network.
That's right.
At LRN.FM. Check them out. They're rapidly expanding and growing and pouring excellent Liberty oriented content directly into your brain, mainlining the Liberty, if you will. So.
Wow.
So go to
are
LRN.
Are you free basing? No, I'm freedoming.
Freedom basing. I like that. I think I'm going to start saying that.
Freedom basing, the LRN.
It's the new drug. It gets you high on liberty. Anyway, what are we talking about tonight, Mike? A couple different things, right?
Right.
We had kind of a personal situation that was in my own life that we wanted to talk about tonight. But first of all, we had a couple of little
snippets,
short snippets, yeah, that we wanted to discuss. And the first one was, what was it, Mike?
A very short article. It's not even an article. It's just like a soundbite of a news item. It's titled "Atheists Know More About Religion Than Believers,"
and
I thought that was pretty funny.
From Time Magazine, right on the online website.
Sure.
Yeah.
Time newsfeed.
Something.
Yes. We'll put the URL for this in the show notes. So I'll just read it because it's only a couple paragraphs long. Have a question about religion? You ought to ask someone who has completely rejected it. According to a survey conducted by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, atheists and agnostics tend to know more about religion than members of most faiths, the Los Angeles Times reports. For example, most Protestants could not identify Martin Luther as the founder of the Protestant movement. Atheists took top spot in the survey, followed by a tie between Mormons and Jews. Why did atheists do so well? The study concluded that those who reject faith often do so after growing up in a religious household and studying and deliberating keeping the faith. Also, atheists and agnostics tend to be better educated in general. Why did Christians do so poorly? It may be because once someone accepts a faith, they stop examining it.
Very telling statement.
The survey had one bright spot. At least 80% of respondents knew that Mother Teresa was a Catholic.
Oh boy.
So I find it ironically funny, and I like that the statement they made that why do Christians do so poorly? It may be because once someone accepts a faith, they stop examining it.
And oh, yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah, that's true with everything.
Would you say that sometimes, like, libertarians know more about government than the government school workers?
Oh, I would say, you know, the government
bureaucrats.
Itself.
Yeah.
I'd say people who are against government probably know more about how it works and what it does than the people who work in government that they're protesting to or talking to or who are arresting them or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it calls to mind, this is probably my own confirmation bias, but it calls to mind the examples of, like, when activists in the Free State Project, which were part of freestateproject.org.
plug, plug, plug.
Yes, don't plug your ears as we're plugging our favorite organizations. But anyway, when liberty activists local here in New Hampshire have been interacting with police, like, you know, often they'll say stuff like, you know, like they'll be able to cite specific laws, or they'll they'll ask the cop to cite the law, and then the cop can't do
it. More often the Constitution, but yes, the law and the Constitution, and cops won't know it, won't understand it,
yeah,
won't believe that it's, you know, a law that they're supposed to be protecting, etc.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll say something like, I don't know, I've heard people challenge them directly based on laws before, and then sometimes they'll say, oh yeah, you're right. anyway, so.
And then what else did I like? I don't know if I like this, but it is an interesting statement. Also, atheists and agnostics tend to be better educated in general. Mm-hmm. Well, this little snippet article was from a survey. Mm-hmm. So how do they know that atheists and agnostics tend to be better educated in general?
Well, they said that in this article without giving a citation, but there have been other demographic studies that are probably, I'm sure, biased in their own way. Are you okay, Mike?
I'm dying. Anyway, they're...
oh, no, let's do some CPR.
You've read these studies?
Mouth to mouth. Come on, yeah. Listeners, come over to the Love RV and give it to them.
You've actually seen these studies that say atheists and agnostics are better educated in general?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really bothered to, like, go really in detail and check out the methodology or anything like that.
But I've definitely
seen that they existed, that it tends to be people who are in the higher education, you know, people who have advanced degrees, PhDs, graduate students, people who are college educated, are less likely to be religious than people who have only completed a high school education or less.
So that by itself is correlation and not causation.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I would interpret that to mean the more intelligent someone is, the less likely they are to believe without thinking. In other words, if you're intelligent and hence have chosen to be educated and go to more school and learn more advanced topics and get more degrees, then you're also one who tends to less often believe something without understanding it and studying it.
I would like to agree with you, although I can't help but ignore the fact that many highly educated people are statists.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, there's the status, and I was going to go the reverse. There's a number of highly educated, like, scientists and such that are religious. So I guess...
I think it's a really small percentage. As far as I know,
good.
Oh, it's upwards of 90% of the scientists, at least.
That are what?
At least in Europe and probably in the United States too. I forget where I got that statistic, but
I don't understand the statistic yet. 90% of scientists are
not religious.
Ah, okay.
And that's way higher than the general population.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, orders of magnitude. I think it's something like the most recent, every 10 years there's a religion survey that somebody does in America. I forget who does it, but I used to be really on top of the atheist stuff, and I would hear the results of the survey every so often, and they would say, I think the most recent figure was like 14% of Americans identify as non-religious, but then there are this whole other larger group that is kind of what's called, I guess, the unchurched, the people who say in name, like, I am this religion, but they never go to service, you know, they don't really participate in the religion,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm sure everybody knows people like that in their own lives. So I don't know if I would consider those people on the same level as atheists or agnostics. Maybe they just don't give it much thought, but they're really not actively religious for sure.
Well, I'm glad that at least in the science community, there's a much lesser rate of nonsense.
Yeah.
I'll say faith, because that's the opposite of science.
Well, faith is belief without evidence,
right? And that's the opposite of science.
Yeah, science is evidence, yeah. I know. It does
And you
seem...
know what? As a total tangent, and I don't want to start a whole new topic, this could be another show, but there's people who say to me and others, your belief in scientists is a faith. Your belief in science is a faith.
Mm.
No, it's not. Faith is without evidence. Science is not something to believe in. It is a way, a method of understanding reality. There is no faith involved. It's such a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, anyway.
Doesn't really make sense. And certainly scientists are wrong sometimes, too.
Oh,
you know?
That's part of science.
Yeah, that's part of science. It's a
I'm
way
not
to...
saying it's infallible. I'm saying it is not faith.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah,
right?
I know. True. You're a scientist.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's our next snippet?
The next snippet, that's ironic that you chose to call it a snippet,
Woo!
Given what the topic is. I think that was a little pun that Mike tried to work
in. I didn't, but it's very little.
It's very little, yes, a little pun. Anyway, this is from theexaminer.com, and it's a study that was sent to us as a comment about, we did two episodes about circumcision a while ago. One was a question from a prospective aunt who was concerned that her sister was thinking about circumcising her baby boy. She was asking us kind of what tactics or techniques she could use to get her sister to think about that more carefully and examine the risks and benefits of circumcision. And then we did a follow-up, which was an email from a doctor who talked about the actual...
statistics.
Who actually did like a really good cost-benefit analysis of circumcision. And when I say cost, I mean risk to the baby boy's health.
And so this snippet is called?
This snippet is called New Study Estimates Neonatal Circumcision Death Rate Higher Than Suffocation and Auto Accidents, which is very interesting. So it says...
And we'll find out in a minute, but I'll stress in the title that it's higher than suffocation and auto accidents combined.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so go on.
Okay, so it says, more than half of parents in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, this is like a newspaper from that area, choose to circumcise their boys. But are these parents ever really informed of the possible complications? Generally, no. And this failure in the informed consent process has significant consequences for many boys. For example, the penile injuries discussed by a local pediatric urologist in this article.
Which they link to.
Yeah, you can see it if you go. We can put the link in our show notes,
yes.
I guess. And then it goes on. But this physician only sees boys who live. Good point.
Yeah.
How many children die each year as a result of circumcision in the U.S. hasn't been recorded or even considered important by any medical establishment. A new study published last week in Thymos, Journal of Boyhood Studies, never heard of that journal,
and that sounds
by
a
the way.
Fishy, actually.
Yeah. Estimates that more than 100 baby boys die from circumcision complications each year, including from anesthesia reaction, stroke, hemorrhage, and infection. And yeah, of course. I mean, it's a surgical procedure, you know.
So there could be
any
problems.
Surgical procedure is going to have risks, and I don't think people think of it as such, but yeah, you're removing a part of the person's body, of course.
Yeah.
There could be complications from that. And then the article goes on to say, because infant circumcision is elective, all of these deaths are avoidable.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The study concluded these boys died because physicians have either been complicit or duplicitous and because parents ignorantly said yes or lacked the courage to say no and called the deaths an unrecognized sacrifice of innocence. Well, it doesn't sound like that journal is biased at all, does it? Maybe not writing from the most objective scientific perspective or even trying to be scientific about it, but...
And for that matter, maybe these statistics are bogus.
Yeah, who
we
knows?
We don't know, but...
But yeah, I mean, we like to talk about the principle of this,
yes.
Which I think both of us really hold dear, which is that a baby can't consent to having a part of its body removed. And so why would you do that? Especially when there's really no evidence that the benefit, like there's any health benefit to it.
Right.
You know, as we covered in our older episodes, which I guess we can look up.
So now here are the numbers. Right?
Yeah, here are the numbers. So this says the study found that approximately 117 neonatal first 28 days after birth, so month-old infants, circumcision-related deaths occur annually in the United States, one out of every 77 male neonatal deaths.
So that's more than 1% of male neonatal deaths are circumcision-related, according to this.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Mm-hmm. And then the study, I mean, it says that it found that 117 baby boys die or neonatal boys die of this,
mm-hmm.
which isn't that many when you consider all the babies that are born in the U.S., but it's still, I mean, it's too many. I mean, even one person is too many for
right.
this, you know? It's pretty sad. Okay. So the study also identified reasons why accurate data on these deaths are not available, some of the obstacles to preventing these deaths, and some solutions to overcome them. So yeah, it was a pretty, seemed like a pretty biased article, I would have to say from this. And then it says, to put this in perspective, about 44 neonatal boys die each year from suffocation and 8 from auto accidents. About 115 neonatal boys die annually from SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome. Nearly the same as from circumcision.
So that last sentence
puts it in perspective.
So basically, if you add up the neonatal boys that annually die in the U.S. from suffocation and auto accidents,
mm-hmm.
it's half as many as die from circumcision-related deaths.
Right. And even if that number is a little bit exaggerated or inflated, like that's still, I mean...
Right.
That's still
a lot. And even though it's only 100 babies dying in, like you said, out of 300 million people in the country, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
It's, look at the attention that auto accidents gets. Protect the babies. You have to put the seat in backwards. Let's pass laws.
Right.
8 a year die from that, whereas 100 die from circumcision-related deaths.
Right.
How about SIDS, like you mentioned earlier before the show?
Yeah.
SIDS gets a lot of press, I guess, a lot of emotion flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the same amount die from that as circumcision-related deaths.
Right. Yeah. There's the whole back to sleep campaign. Have you seen this? It's like,
get them to sleep on their back.
Yeah. To put the baby on their back to go to sleep because, you know, it's somehow it decreases their risk from dying from SIDS. But I mean, just if you mention that phrase, most people know what it is because it's been such a prevalent PR campaign. But
I bet most people didn't even know that there were circumcision related deaths.
Oh, sure.
Deaths. Yeah.
Yeah. No way. So, and I mean, it seems like choosing not to circumcise a baby boy would be quite similar to the ease of putting a baby to sleep on its back. You know, it's a really simple thing. All you have to say
it's simpler because you have to decide it once, I'm not going to circumcise. Whereas
right.
put them on the back, you have to do it every time they go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, again, the overarching principle here is that a baby boy can't consent. Would you want a part of your body removed without your consent?
Right.
I mean, at least give him the chance to grow up and decide if he wants that for himself.
So, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so
excellent. All right,
we get
party
into
on, Garth.
Party on, Garth. Wayne.
Should we get into our what?
Should we get into our actual topic?
Yes, we have an actual topic this episode.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that is.
Okay. It took me a minute to remember. We wasted 17 minutes.
We didn't waste anything. We were talking about important stuff.
That's true, Mike. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a self-deprecating remark. I need to go back and listen to that. We did not waste. We used our time effectively.
Yes.
We expended. Oh, I like that. Okay, so the real topic that I wanted to discuss on the show, I had a situation come up a little while ago where a friend asked me for advice. This was really recently. I woke up one morning to a text message from a friend that was my best friend in high school. And I don't talk to him too often these days, but, you know, we still remain friends. And the text message said, I was wondering if you would go to this wedding with me. The wedding is for this other person that my friend knew in high school. And inevitably, you know, going to this wedding would lead to seeing a lot of people from our hometown that we don't really keep in touch with, or, you know, it would probably be pretty awkward and not very fun.
All right.
And so the message said, will you go to this wedding with me? I don't think I can stand to go alone. It's on this date. Go to their blog, by the way, and you can see all the information about it. So I basically decided right away that I was not interested in going. And I went to their blog.
You told them.
Oh yeah. And I told them that. Yeah. I said, look, you know, I could go with the way that my schedule is going to work out, but I don't want to.
There you go.
I'm sorry. And I thought that was good because, you know, why should I do something that I don't want to do?
Yeah.
Especially to please these people who I'm not friends with, I don't keep in touch with, I'm not interested in seeing. They're all going to be status probably, and I'm not going to have a good time, and I'm going to waste a lot of money and time. And I mean, it would be great to see my friend, the one that I'm actually friends with.
But you guys could have arranged for lunch. You didn't have
absolutely.
Do a wedding with other people.
Wedding from the hometown.
So you went to the blog.
So then I went to the blog. This is really interesting. And I saw that the date, my friend had told me the wedding is on the 10th. So I went to the blog and I checked, and the wedding was actually on the 1st. And I said, well, that's interesting. I think he did that on purpose because he doesn't want to go. And so I called him up and I said, hey, man, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but the wedding is actually on the 1st, not on the 10th. And then I saw how he reacted and he said, oh, well, good thing you told me because I threw out the invitation and I would never have noticed it. And I said, man, you did this because I think you did this because you didn't want to go. And you maybe didn't want to admit that you didn't want to go or didn't have the courage to say no. And so you kind of made up a little, your brain kind of did that on purpose.
Your brain made made a whole bunch of an obstacle course of events so that you wouldn't have to say no and you wouldn't go. Like forgetting the date and then throwing away the invitation and then asking someone else who might have scheduling conflicts and et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. And so, you know, he thought about it for a little while. And we talked a little bit more. And eventually he said, you know what? I think you're right. I think I did do that on purpose. And I think I should just say no because I really don't want to go. And I'm not going to go. So I was really happy about that. And then he said, you know, do you think that's okay if I don't go?
yes, I do.
And yeah, I said, yeah, I do. But
man.
So what do you think about this whole situation? I think it really brings up the topic of assertiveness, right? If you have good self-esteem, I think if you have good self-esteem and integrity and all that stuff, then you have the self-confidence to say no to things that you don't want to do, even though there may be pressures from outside that are sort of moving you, trying to move you in the direction of saying yes when you want to say no. And you also have the confidence to say yes when you want to say yes, even though there may be pressures or reasons not to say yes. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I agree. I'm it's curious to me because, you know, it's more than, it's true that there's the confidence issue, but it's ironic to me because you're not wanting to say no to avoid conflict, probably. Some kind of conflict. Mm-hmm. Someone would be embarrassed or someone would be hurt if you didn't go or someone might be. And this person might be a friend. It might be a stranger. It might be a person you don't care about, that you care about. And all of these situations, you're like concerned about someone else. So you'll make yourself feel miserable by coming up with excuses or going and having a bad time. Whereas if you instead say no, or much more politely, hey, that sounds fun, but no, I'm not going to go. Or I'm sorry, that doesn't sound fun to me, but you have a good time. I'm not going to go. So, you know, whatever tact you want to take, if you take care of yourself, you will be having so much more enjoyable moments in life. You won't be wasting any time stressing over this. You'll have said no. You won't be wasting an evening at a place you don't enjoy. You won't be wasting your drive time. You won't be wasting, you know, whatever. I mean, I stopped going to Christmases when I stopped enjoying them. So I also stopped wasting money and time shopping for presents.
Yeah. So, and the point of that? To go so you can be invited back to do again the thing that makes you miserable?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that I don't know if people really think about it. They're hurting themselves very mildly in order to not hurt someone else very mildly who they may not even like.
Yeah, exactly. And why do people do this? I just think that people value these things what their family thinks of them or what
family's probably the biggest, but others in general.
Yeah.
I think it's very highly viewed to be, I mean, it's very highly valued to be viewed as important or nice or whatever, you know, to have
Especially
other people think
your,
highly of
in
you.
In your family, because
when
you're a little kid, like kind of one of your biggest goals is to get your parents' approval and to have them think highly of you. Right. And how do you do that? By obeying them, right?
Yeah, I would agree, and hence I'd also say that family is one of the hardest ones to
say no.
Yeah, to say no to, or to learn to prioritize under yourself. Like it's probably easier to learn to say no to friends than it is to your family.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true.
I've certainly found it hard, but I've done it.
Yeah, I think I know. I can totally sympathize with that, and I think in this case, since he had known, my friend had known the person who was getting married for a really long time and had grown up in the hometown. That's almost like an extension of family, you know, because they're just so, they're a part of your young life.
Yeah, or even if they're just a best friend and you don't call it family, it's a best friend for 10 years or 15 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they used to be, my friend and the person who were getting married, I mean, I think they used to be really good friends, but they're
further now.
They're kind of grown apart a little bit now, so...
I have actually a similar experience in my life. About 3 years ago, my older brother decided to get married, and he didn't really want a state... I can't say he didn't want a state marriage, but he wanted a very casual marriage, and he lived in a state where the requirements by government to get married were pretty meager.
Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, there was a marriage license by the state that was required.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he asked me, hey, would you like to officiate the ceremony?
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to make up his own ceremony. He was going to have me officiate or, you know, whatever, say some words and present. Now, oh, that's awesome. But then I learned that I would have to sign something with the state. I would have to sign that, yes, I agree that the state gives me permission to marry them for this day or something like that.
Yeah.
And it even would have been free. But that's against my principle. So I told my brother, I really appreciate you thinking of me, but I won't do this. I disagree with marriage in general, but, you know, if you want to get married, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally disagree with the state being involved, so I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it really hard and, really bad. But I'm sorry he took it poorly, but it didn't affect my life negatively because I didn't have to compromise my principles or do something that I thought was wrong.
Yeah.
I just said no.
You were just following your heart and doing what you thought was right.
And it turns out that it didn't take him long to find someone else and a different procedure and he got married and he's very happy. So great.
Sure.
He did what he wanted. I did what I wanted. I said no. Neither of us are really unhappy.
I mean, he's happy because he has a good relationship with his wife, right? Not because he has a piece of paper that says they're married.
Right. But he's happy because though he didn't get exactly what he wanted, which was me to participate, he found someone else who would. And he moved on.
Yeah. So, I mean, what kind of pressure did you feel? Like, what were the reasons that you would have... What were the reasons that you felt pressure to say yes?
I didn't really feel the pressure. I do understand it's there, but I'm used to standing up for myself.
Let it get to you, yeah.
I would guess that the pressures are the kind of he's my older brother, 10 years older, and he's really he's really tried to do a great job of like helping me grow and learn over since I was a little kid and taking. So I would say the pressures are, I've done all this for you and you don't want to do this one little thing for me, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, can't you compromise this one principle for what may be the most important day of my life? He actually said that.
Wow.
So I guess there was pressure and I just disregarded it.
Well, so but he was basically saying like, hey, you owe me something.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah. Or I guess he's kind of saying that and he's kind of also saying, this is so important to me. Can't you put what's important to you aside?
Put my needs in front of yours.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that can be a significant pressure.
Yeah. I think in this case, maybe my friend who asked me to go to this wedding, I think he felt pressured to say yes because he was probably worried about the approval of a lot of people who would be there and maybe some people in his family or some of his old friends that he had grown up with. But then, you know, if he really thinks about it, like, why is that important? I mean, you have, when you have self-knowledge and you have confidence as a person and good self-esteem, like you, I mean, why do you need the approval of people that you grew up with? That just seems really arbitrary, you know?
Right. And I'll say this and then something else. If it is important to you at whatever level, why is it more important than your own happiness?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, I also want to say that people probably want to temper or balance their assertiveness in this regard, right? In this facet. Because if you always do only what makes you feel good, you're going to hurt other people. And there's no compromise. There's no give and take. And people will generally not want to be around you, not want to help you.
Sure.
So you can't... I mean, this is like, in Ayn Rand's, the virtue of selfishness or rational selfishness. It's not all about... me, 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 me. It's about you in the long run.
Yeah.
And sometimes it may be prudent for you or beneficial for you to say, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to have a good time tonight, but there's so many of my old friends there or, you know, whatever the situation is. There's so many, I'll use your friend's example here with this wedding and old friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of my old friends there that are in my industry, and I might be, you know, I don't want to hurt them, and they might be able to give me...
And I'm going to keep running into them in life.
Yes, yes. And so I don't want a bunch of awkward moments at industry conventions, so I will go to this... I will hurt myself a little by going to this awkward evening in order to help myself in the long run by avoid many more awkward evenings. Or, that's a horrible example, but I guess my point is...
I think I know
it's give
what
and take.
You're saying, yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe, you know, maybe if it was someone that you actually really... Like, maybe, let's say that you and your brother were not just brothers, but you were also, like, best friends.
Okay.
Right? And your brother maybe wanted you to do something that was a little bit less important to you, like maybe travel to... Let's say he wanted you to travel to Hawaii for his wedding.
Okay. Well, he did want me to travel across the country.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
so let's choose that instead of compromising your...
And by the way, I did go. I just didn't officiate. So go on with this. Best friends, and he wanted me to do something great.
He wanted you to travel, and you weren't particularly up for traveling, or you didn't feel like you could spend that money or something like that.
Okay.
You know, maybe if he's your best friend, you say, okay, well, you know, I care about your happiness. It's very important to you. So I guess I would be willing to make a compromise because I care about you. Right.
Yes, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's what I did, by the way. I did not officiate, but I also did go to a wedding, and I don't agree with weddings. So
yes, that's true. Mike, we went to a wedding together at one point.
Yeah, at one point, that was our first date.
That was fun. But anyway, so what could my friend say to the person who's getting married? Because I think this is really important.
Okay, so how to say no, how to assert yourself.
Right. Like, I think that...
I've actually said no to going to weddings before, too, because I don't agree with them. I've actually said no to going to funerals because I don't agree with funerals.
Really?
I didn't
know that about you, Mike. Yeah. What did you say when you said that?
But I've also gone to funerals and weddings, so it's contextual.
Uh-huh.
So what do we say? What kind of things can you say?
Well, I'm curious what you said.
To the funeral one? Is that what you...
And to the weddings. Like, whenever you didn't want to go to these things, how did you say it?
It depends on the situation, of course, but I think in most cases, I say, I'm sorry, I don't want to go, or I won't go, or I won't be there, things like that. But I don't say I can't go or I can't make it, because that's not true. I'm choosing not to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually don't give an excuse. It's again, contextual, but I usually say, I'm sorry, I won't be there. I hope you have a great time.
Yep.
Something like that.
So
and
you don't
they
really...
usually don't even ask why.
Okay.
And there's, you know, a lot of people are, I guess, I don't know what it is, not confident enough in just asserting, I don't want this.
Right.
That they have to come up with excuses. Like, I'm not going to be there because I have to go to the dentist that morning and I have to wake up early for work the next day. And also my car is not running well. And just, you know what? Those might all be true, but that's really irrelevant to the person getting married, isn't it? They just want to know if you'll be there. So that's all I say. And almost no one ever asks me why.
Yeah. See, that's exactly what I was getting at.
Oh.
Like, I think that my friend kind of has a choice between telling the person who's getting married, like, oh, I'd love to go, but my dog's having surgery and I have to wash my hair and, you know.
I have to wash my dog's hair and...
And, you know, I have to shave my dog to get ready for the surgery and, you know. Like, he could give her some list of excuses, but I think he should just say, you know... I'm sorry. I'm not interested. I wish you the best. I'd love to see you sometime. Here's a gift.
If that's true.
If he wants to, you know, give her a gift, but
I
won't be there.
Right. You could also, I think that was really good.
Yeah.
Another way he could say it would be, I don't remember exactly why he didn't want to go, but he could say, I really hope your wedding's great, but I'm not going to be there because I feel awkward in front of all your other friends or all these other people.
That was basically it.
Or, So whatever, you know, if he wants to give a reason, why make one up? Just tell him the truth. I don't see why you always have to give a reason, though. If the person wants to know a reason, they'll ask you, won't they?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I won't be there. You have a great time. Well, why aren't you coming? I really wanted you there. Well, I'm going to feel awkward in front of all these people, and I don't agree with weddings, so you go, whatever the case.
Yeah.
Then tell them your reasons.
I think some people would tell... You know, would say, oh, he should make up an excuse because that'll save the other person's feelings. But
you know
I don't know. I think it's better to be honest, don't you?
I completely do. But maybe we should do a whole show on white lies.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Okay. All right. We have some examples that I just thought of.
Of white lies?
Yeah, off the top of my head, right, from our own lives. But anyway,
that's a future show.
It might even be the next one. You never know. But what I was going to say was that I think that my friend could say pretty much the same thing that I said to him when I refused to go to this wedding to the person who's getting married. Like, I just said to him, you know, I would love to see you. I really enjoy spending time with you, but I don't feel like I'm going to have a good time with these other people. So I'm not interested in going.
Yes, that's great.
I mean, you know, maybe he could just tell the bride, look, you know, I really like you, but this isn't the right.
But your groom is a. Just kidding. Don't add that part. I was just making a joke.
I
really like you and I
want to
spend time with you, but this venue makes me awkward, or I'm not going to enjoy the other people's company and something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just don't think I would enjoy myself. I wish you the best.
Yes.
Here's a gift if he wants to send a gift.
Right.
We've talked about that on the show before,
right? And according to Miss Manners, you have up to a year to give a wedding gift.
Oh, boy. After day 366, it suddenly becomes rude.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. You know what? I want to actually give someone a gift on day 366 just to see if they'll take it as rude.
I think they'd probably be happy, but they'd be like, what the hell is this for?
Oh, yeah, we got married, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, a year ago. 366 days ago. Oh, anyway. Okay, so I guess the things that I want to conclude from this episode are, you know, don't be afraid to say no when you want to say no, or to say yes when you want to say yes. Like, follow your heart. Be honest when you're saying no and yes. Like, don't feel that you need to make up excuses.
Yeah.
I think by
living more for yourself and less for others, you know, with balance, you're going to be happier.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, though, so maybe they want to try with less important decisions. Mm-hmm. Like, if going home for Christmas going home to the family for Christmas every year is such a tradition and so important to your mom and blah, 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 maybe that's not the one to start with by saying, no, I don't enjoy it.
Or at least realize that they have consequences when you say no.
Yeah.
You know, like,
someone might be hurt, but they might also appreciate knowing that, oh, you're not having a good time? Maybe we could change the venue. Maybe we could do something different. Maybe we go to your house this year or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You may end up getting more of what you want if you just assert
yourself.
If people
know it,
yeah.
Good point.
But yeah, like we said, like, of course, be aware that saying no or saying yes or not appeasing, basically not just continually seeking to please other people could have consequences, right? If you say no to, you know, if you work at a certain place and your boss asks you to do something and you say, oh, hell no, I'm not going to do that. You know, you may lose your job, right?
Yes,
because you're not
that's
doing
a good point.
What they expected of you. So
even in that situation, there might be a way to express it where it'll work.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you
yeah.
might be able to say, no, and that's not really one of my responsibilities. Or, no, I realize that's one of my responsibilities, but I'm not.
But I'm unable to do it now.
Or don't want to do it now. Can we trade with Joe and I'll do it tomorrow or something? There's ways to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, okay, I think we're good,
yeah.
Where can you go if you want to hear our past episodes and join our female list and get the neat little widget that calls you and calls us at the same time so you can leave us a voicemail in your lovely, lovely voice?
New Jersey?
No. I don't think so.
No.
Although maybe if you're thinking about Thinking Liberty, you could go there.
Porktherapy.com, P-O-R-C, therapy.com.
Yes. Exactly right, Mike. And,
if
you want to email us...
You can send us a question at questions@porktherapy.com. And if you want to call us...
Call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4. And if...
You can record your question there, and that phone number is...
It's actually... you know, we give out the letters as a gimmick, and because it rhymes with our theme song.
It's more than a gimmick, you know. It's people can remember PT-LOVE-4, and then they can figure out how to dial it. But what are those numbers?
Okay, well, it's a mnemonic. It's not a gimmick.
There you go.
We give our number out as a mnemonic, but it's actually 419-785-6834. That is 419-785-6834.
And if you order now,
well, if
you'll
Hannah...
get a date with Stephanie.
Oh, boy. Be careful what you go promising on the air, Mike. I don't think that offer is valid. I don't consent to that.
Oh, it's expired.
Yes, it expired before it even started. Anyway, what do we have left to say, Mike?
Good night.
Until next time.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we got to cut this short because I got to go to my long-lost cousin's wedding.
I have to go.
Yeah, I have to go. I can't say no. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more.